Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage invites us to discover godly wisdom that leads to life and joy. God loves us and disciplines us for our good. Therefore, we should humble ourselves and fear Him. We should use our words to bless and not to curse. We should seek and give wise counsel. For in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 15, verse 10, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of this chapter.
Correction, verse 10, is grievous unto him that forsakes the way, and he that hates reproof shall die. Die? Death in the Bible doesn't speak of the cessation of existence. It means separation from. Once again, we learn that the person who has forsaken the way of the Lord is also a person who so often hates correction. Our flesh hates to be reproved. And yet one of the things that the Bible is filled with is reproof and exhortation. Hell and or Sheol and death and destruction are before the Lord. They lie open, hold no secrets. How much more then the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. The word scorner can be translated a mocker. A scorner does not love a person that reproves him, because a scorner really doesn't want to know the truth. Listen to the difference between a scorner and a wise man. Proverbs 9:8. Reprove a scorner, he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he's going to love you. You rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you. Thank you for loving me enough to correct me. Thank you for loving me enough to not allow me to go in that way that is not right. Thank God. Faithful are the, what? Wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Verses 13 and 15 through 15 again, focusing in the heart. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. In chapter 17, verse 22, we will read, Lord willing, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And thus, heart maintenance is vital for the child of God. That's why we are exhorted to guard our hearts with all diligence. For out of it flow, what? The issues of life. And what is the source of a merry heart? It's a deep, abiding fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It's seeking His face in prayer. It's walking in humility before Him. It's reading and applying the Word. It's gathering together with other believers. Iron sharpening iron. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. Amen. I like that verse. Merry heart, this is good like medicine. There's medicine when you walk into a church sanctuary and you see a smiling face filled with the joy of the Lord after you've been through the gates of hell all day. A merry heart is like good medicine. It's the best therapy in the world. The heart of him that has understanding inquires or craves knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Again, the Life Application Bible says this: what we feed our minds is just as important as what we feed our bodies. The kinds of books we read, the people we talk with, the music we listen to, the films we watch are all part of our mental diet. What you feed your mind influences your total health and well-being. Thus, a strong desire to discover truth is a mark of wisdom. It's not whether it's lawful or not, but is it expedient? Does it edify? John Corson said once at a Bible study, "It is because a foolish man thinks he lacks nothing that he is foolish. It is because a wise man thinks he needs more wisdom that he is wise." I don't know about you, but the older that I get, every tick at the clock, I say, "Lord, I need you and I need your wisdom more and more, not less and less." Verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast." And the idea here is that there is within a merry heart a feast that is independent of what is going around him or her. And that never is to make light of like what our sister shared. We've all had those Death Valley seasons, right? But I think of Habakkuk in chapter 3, where he says in verse 17, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." What Habakkuk was saying is, as much as I love my land, as much as I love our people, though everything is destroyed, my joy does not come from them. My joy comes from him. Value systems, look at verse 16. "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Psalm 37:16 says, "A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked." Proverbs 16:8 says, "Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right." Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." A great study for you to go through, for us to go through. Just go through the book of Proverbs and look at all the times you find the word better. And then put better, God's according to God's value system. It will make you thankful. It will convict you, as it has me many times, because I have a tendency to look at my neighbors or look at the news or look comparatively to the whatever, other people. But when I look at the Word of God, I realize how abundantly wealthy I am. And I'm not talking in terms of dollars and cents, but just because of the grace and goodness of God. Look at verse 17. "Better is a dinner of herbs. Better is a meal of vegetables where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." It's better to have a few vegetables in an atmosphere of love than to have a prime rib dinner where there's hatred and tension. And sometimes I've been out to restaurants and I can just see some people there. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I wouldn't want to be sitting at the table. And they've got the primo prime rib and everything. And I'm ordering what you order. Can I have a large cheeseburger with fries? And I go, boy, this is so good. And it is good. It's better. Verse 18, "A wrathful or hot-tempered man stirs up strife," stirs up dissension. "But he that is slow to anger," or a patient man, "appeases strife." One commentator says, "There are people who are like nitroglycerin. Any little shaking and they will explode." But wrath is not always displayed by an explosive act. There are many times, unfortunately, even within the setting of a church, it is displayed by quietly sowing strife and discord among the brethren. Just as lethal, just as destructive. It's been said that proverbial hotheads are contrasted with peacemakers. Verse 19, "The way of a slothful man is as a hedge of thorns." In other words, he or she meets with perpetual difficulty and trouble. "But the way of the righteous is made plain." Tim Keller, in his book, God's Wisdom for Navigating Life, says, "The way of the sluggard is blocked with thorns means laziness leads ultimately to no work. or more work. If you don't brush your teeth every day, it will lead to costly and painful dental surgery or to infections that can threaten the health of the whole body. And so the way of the slothful, as opposed to the way of the righteous or the diligent. The way of the righteous doesn't always seem easy. Many times it's contrary to our flesh, but the outcome is always a blessing. Verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. How sad that is. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly, or maintains a straight course. Foolishness, it is said, brings joy to those who have no sense. Folly is joy to those who are destitute of wisdom. When you observe what people laugh at, what people enjoy, and not as a self-righteous Pharisee, now that you're born again, you realize, why did I ever laugh at that? Why did I ever enjoy that? Why did I get so much what I thought satisfaction out of that when I really didn't? But a man of understanding walks uprightly. Paul said in Ephesians 5, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, walking carefully, guardedly, prayerfully. Verse 22, without counsel, provided that it is godly counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. When we are uncertain of what to do, instead of rushing headlong into a situation, a wise person is going to pray and then perhaps be led by the Lord to talk to someone or others who can give him or her godly counsel, biblical godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, godly counselor, there is safety. And there's always one that we can go to who is the ultimate counselor, and that's the Lord Jesus. Verse 23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, or a timely word, how good is it? Have you ever experienced a word in due season? An email, a text. Sometimes I'll get a text from someone and go, and I'll have to reply, you have no idea how I needed to hear that. You ever get one of those? Just at the right time, you're just about to just plunge, and here comes this text. And go, wow, Lord, a word in season. What a blessing it is to be on the receiving end of a word spoken at the right time. And let me encourage you, many times when you're praying, or many times when you're reading the Word of God, somebody may come to your mind. Let me encourage you to not only pray for them, but consider sending them a simple text. Hi, Tony. I was just thinking about you, and I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I don't know why the Lord put you on my heart. I want you to know you are prayed for. 99 out of 100 times, somebody will reply and say, you have no idea how I needed to hear that. Nobody has ever said, why did you call and encourage me? Not once. Why did you send that text? Not once. Isaiah 50, verse 4 is a keeper, brothers and sisters. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So you get up tomorrow morning, should the Lord tarry, and you're about to have, if you're a morning quiet time people, and people have quiet times at all different times. I have a dear pastor friend of mine. He's not an early riser, but he stays up late. But he says, I get up before you. I go, what do you mean? It's almost impossible to get up before me. He says, well, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. I have my quiet time at night. I beat you. So it's not a matter of when, but it's a matter of how important it is. Lord, I'm here to hear from you. How do you hear? You hear from the Word. And how do I hear what someone else is saying? I have to stop talking. When Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, he means it. And if someone says, I don't believe God speaks to us, well, then you don't believe the Bible. He does speak. He does speak. There is a still small voice. I can pick out. I've been at a baseball stadium with my wife, and maybe we've gotten separated, and I can hear, sweetie, there's a certain tone. I know exactly where it's coming from. I don't need a GPS, right? I can hear her voice. You know why? We've developed a relationship. We've developed a relationship. Morning by morning, he wakes up to hear as the learned. Verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Remember what Paul says in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a good. Set it, Lord. Set it. GPS my heart, my mind, my will, my affections on heaven, on you. Verse 25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Beautiful, beautiful promise. Pride not only looks down on others, it also refuses to let God take his or her proper role in their lives. He destroys the house of the proud. That was the downfall of Lucifer. Pride goes before a fall. Verse 26, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination unto the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. In Isaiah chapter 55, as we draw near to the end of our study tonight, beloved, we read in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The Bible says a lot about our thoughts, our mind, right? And how we need to renew our mind, cleanse our mind, wash our mind. Yeah, I'll admit, I have been getting brainwashed since September 28th, 1975, 8:10 p.m. And the washing still goes on because there's a lot of dirt that can get in here. And we can get spotted with the world, can't we? How do you get rid of those spots? Clorox is not going to do it. We talk about the mouth. I don't know how many of you are of Italian descent, but when me and my cousins or me and my two brothers, before I was born again, would say things like, oh, yeah, that we shouldn't say that I can't say. And my mother or my grandmother, my aunt says, I'm going to wash your mouth with ivory soap. Well, that wouldn't change it. You know why? Because that wouldn't change my heart. So I ate a lot of ivory soap before I got saved. But that didn't change anything until I was born again. All right, so last couple of verses. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. Greed says, if I could make huge money, even if it requires that I lie or bribe, then why not? But God says, if your heart is set on money in a greedy way, it will ultimately poison your character and trouble your house. And how tragic is the false, heretical prosperity gospel to the household of God. Achan was a man that was greedy of gain, remember? When the Israelites conquered the city of Jericho, the Lord told them to leave all of the spoils. But when Achan saw a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, he took them. And when the Israelites lost their next battle, Joshua fell on his face and asked the Lord what went wrong. And he says, there is sin in the camp. And remember, so they brought the multitude together. And when Achan's sin was eventually discovered, he and his family were put to death. Greed will kill you. Greed will kill us. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. In other words, think ponder before you speak. Caution is the fruit of wisdom. Rashness is the fruit of folly. But the mouth of the wicked pours out foolishness. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you, beloved. He hears the prayer of the upright. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. The good report, like the two spies, remember? They sent out 12, spy out the land. What do you think? They said, well, the land is great. The land is beautiful, just like God says, but we've got a problem. There's giants. And Joshua and Caleb says, our God is bigger than the giants. They brought back a good report. What's a good report? It's a report of faith, not a report of doubt. Report of faith. God is good. You see, it wasn't the giants that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. It was unbelief in the character of God and in the promise of God. A good report. It's good. What Kathy shared tonight, tragic story, heart-wrenching story, but a good report, how faithful God is. That encouraged me. I hope it will encourage you. How you can be edified in singing and worship and praising, even in the valleys that you're in. A good report makes the bones fat. He that hears the reproof of life abides among the wise. A person who allows themselves to be admonished by the life-giving word. It's so precious. Verse 32, he that refuses instruction despises his own soul. But he that heareth reproof gets understanding. Over and over again, beloved, we read in the Proverbs the value of being reproved and the warning and danger of refusing to be corrected. Then our last verse. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Humble yourself, beloved, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's something about humility in the eyes of God, something about humility that is so incredibly powerful. There was probably no more wicked king than Manasseh. Manasseh would make Hamas look like Boy Scouts. But amazingly, in 2 Chronicles 33, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him and was entreated of him. And the Lord heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Something about humility, humility in the heart. And here was a man who had sinned so wickedly. Lives were destroyed. God was dishonored. But when he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, the depth of his repentance, listen, the depth of his repentance, God saw it. Now the consequences of his sin continued, but he was brought back into fellowship with God. Aren't you glad that we serve a God like that? The fear of the Lord and humility are the twin virtues of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is that heart awareness of the true God that affects our lives and our actions. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life that impacts others. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us on Monday at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.